Day, and we've got all these different holidays and traditions. He said, put all that aside. Put all of that aside and exercise yourself to what? What does exercise mean? Exercise. What comes to mind when you hear the word exercise? Being tired, sweaty. It means it's some sort of physical exertion. Exercise. He says, exercise yourself to God. Is that physical exercise? Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman. That's physical exertion. It means to put some effort into godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for how much? To all things. Bible study. Memorizing scripture. Application of scripture. What does 2 Peter 3:15 say? Anybody know what that says? 2 Peter 3:15. You ought to be able to quote that. But sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give an answer or defense for the reason, for the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. You know what that means? If somebody asks you why you believe what you believe, you want to have an answer for it, and you need to give a book, chapter, and verse. You know why that's important? Because if you ask some folk, well, who won the World Cup? Which football team won the most trophies? Who is this and what? If you just rattle that off. Folk just rattle that off. Somebody said, what's your number? Oh, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Where you stay, what's your address? Blah, 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 blah. I'm speaking to people all day. I've got to do security, and they're giving me information before I even ask them for it. Why? Because they've committed that to memory. And so, if you can do that in the world, you should be able to do that for the Lord. For all that other stuff profits a little, but godliness is profitable to all things, having promise of this present life and of that which is to come. You ever heard that expression, no pain, no gain? If whatever you have didn't come through some struggle, it's not worth it. If I give you something for free, you're not going to value it as much as the thing you worked hard for. Isn't that right? You say, man, listen, I had to work for long hours to buy this house, and ain't nobody taking from me. That's just a human, that's our human nature. So he's saying the same effort that you put into the stuff that's not going to amount to anything, put that into spiritual things. Let me give you my opinion. This is my opinion here. I believe that every Christian should invest in some sort of spiritual exercise or work beyond the church. What I mean by that, go to a conference, go get yourself some information, study, get a book, whatever it is, you invest yourself in that thing every year. Yeah, you don't have to, you will never have to apologize for investing in yourself. And you know what our problem is? We don't make the time. I don't have time. You don't make the time. God gives all of us time. So he says, listen, this, when you exercise yourself to godliness, it has the benefit or promise of the present life and of that which is to come. 1 Timothy 6:6, but godliness with what? Contentment. What does the word content mean? The answers in the world. Anybody ever been camping? It means to be satisfied. It's con, like a container within. It's within the tent. Anybody have a problem with overpacking when you go overseas? You say, I might need this, and I might need this, and I might need this, and just in case, and you're just stuffing in your stuffing in your, And how much of that stuff do you use? Man, I write this thing. Then you use half this stuff. Godliness with contentment. It means you're not too full, and you're not too empty. You're just right there in the middle. It's what? How much gain? Great gain. Sometimes in God's economy, God brings about addition by subtraction. Does that make sense? Sometimes God's going to take stuff out of you in order for you to grow. And so godliness means I have to be disciplined. I have to be disciplined. Yeah? Today I'm teaching this lesson. After this, I'm going to preach. After this, tomorrow, I'll be on the plane, Lord willing, going to Perth. If the Lord spares my life, I'll come back on the weekend, and I'll come back here and teach this lesson again. And then on the Thursday, I've got a class for the men. And then I've got another class on the sun. You see what I'm saying? So what's my point? I'm not saying all that to make myself. But what I'm saying is each of us have a responsibility to add to our faith. What does that help to do for me to become disciplined? For me to become disciplined, well, whatever your assignment is, all of us have an opportunity. So add to your precious faith godliness, to be God would in our attitude, seeking to do what will please God. Will this exercise please God? Society is becoming more and more godless. 2 Timothy, someone read that. 2 Timothy 3, you know these verses, verses 1 through 5. 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 5. Themselves, lovers of money. Is that scripture?
The Bible says, for the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. Lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. What does blasphemy mean? What is blasphemy? What's that? Speak against God's word. So it means more than that, Brother Locke. It means to know the truth, but still speak a lie. I know that God is real, but I don't believe it's real. Blasphemy. The Bible says that is the only sin that will not be forgiven. Isn't that right? Blasphemy. Disobedient to parents. Is that happening today? God's our Father. Are we disobedient? Is that not me? Yes, you are. Yes, we are. Unthankful. Unholy. Unloving. Unforgiving. Slanderous. What is slander? What is slander? Anybody know what slander is? That's speaking lies, slanderous, and libel is to write it down. Slanderers without self-control. That's one of the things it says in the virtues here in 2 Peter. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, verse 4, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. The King James Version says, but denying the power thereof, having a form of godliness. You don't really know me. Do you really know me? You don't know me. You just see me on Sunday, some of you, for a couple of hours, but you don't really know me. Yeah? Do I know you? But God knows you have a form of godliness. But the Bible says, denying the power of the rope. And he says, and from such people, turn away. That means to have no fellowship with them, have no company with them, because godliness, the world is becoming more and more ungodly. The Bible says in the Old Testament, woe unto them when they call evil good and good evil. I'll just give you one example, and it's happening right now. Two examples. The war in the Ukraine has been going on for the last two years. And we just go to sleep, wake up, as if that's not even happening. Do we pray about these things? That the Lord will intervene and stop this senseless war. The war in Gaza. Israel is trying to wipe a whole nation off the face of the earth, and nobody's blinking. God is waiting on us. The scripture says, if my people, how does that verse go? If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will, what? Heal. Certainly. If my people. Godliness. Godliness. And to godliness, brotherly kindness. 2 Peter 1, verse 7. It means loving and being kind to other Christians because we say it, we are a spiritual family. How do we treat each other? How do we treat each other? John 13, 34, 35, Jesus says, a new commandment. I give you a new commandment. If he says it's a new commandment, it has to be an old one. A new commandment I give to you, what? That you love one another. What that love, we know what that is. Agape love. As I have loved you, I'll give you an example. He said, let me show you, let me teach you, and then you do the same thing. You should also, as I have loved you, you should also love one. What is love? What is love? Is love an emotion? Is love an emotion? Love is not an emotion. Yeah, because I guarantee you, those of you who are married, you don't always feel like you love your spouse every day. There's some things that rub you the wrong way about one another. Yeah, love is a choice. Love is a decision. How do I know that? Romans 5:8, what does that say? But God demonstrated his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus loved us enough, even when he didn't love him. It wasn't about the emotions. It was a choice he made. The love is a choice. Yeah? You have to love the person, but not the behavior. That makes sense? Love the person, not the behavior. I have a responsibility to agape you, despite your behavior. We said that agape love demonstrates itself in five ways. What's the first one, Brother George? It is a love that volunteers. Number two, no matter whether they deserve it or not. Number three,
no matter how it will cost
me. No matter how much it costs me. Number four, no matter how many times I have to repeat the act.
Yeah.
What's the fifth one? Who can remember the fifth one? Whether they ask for it or not. Whether they ask for it or not. That's agape love. That's what Jesus did for you. So, let's turn that around. Let's turn that around. The person in your job that gets on your nerves, the bus driver, the person on the road, the whoever, your boss, that rubs you the wrong way. Agape. It's going to cost you something. And it's not love unless it's going to cost you. It's not a sacrifice unless it costs you something.
Brother?
Yes. Chapter 1, verse 16. You want to read that for us?
Okay.
Please.
About mountain that causes divisions. Let me get the verse from verse 17. There's no artificial pressure. Mountain causes divisions and causes the doctrine which you have learned and avoided.
Yes.
Now, how do you place? You're talking about love does not have to do with action or whatever, but it has to do with choice.
Yes.
How do you go about it?
The Bible says, in another place, the Lord chasteneth or corrects whom he loves. So what is the question? Good question. What is the purpose of discipline? What is the purpose of discipline? You have correct? Is to do what? To correct, but also to help the person who is in the sin to come back to the right path. So if I do not correct the person, the Bible says, the Lord loves or chastens or corrects whom he loves. If I don't correct, in Proverbs says, spill a reward for the child. If you don't discipline your children, what does that mean? That you don't love. So, the act of love sometimes hurts. Yeah? The act of loving someone hurts. Just like this is the story of the prodigal son. Did the father go looking for the son? No, why? Why do you think the father didn't go looking for the son?
Okay. I think he's going to come back.
Oh.
So his mind was looking for him.
So, and another reason is because the son is living in the city. Right? So God cannot fellowship sin. So someone among us is living in sin, and you've done everything you can to win that person back, what does God say? To disfellowship yourself from them. You greet them as a brother or sister, but you are not to keep company with them. You can't go to the grocery store with them, to the movies, have a meal with them, in the hope that they will, like the prodigal son, come to themselves and come back into the food. You see? But if we are just carrying on like everything's okay, I'm okay, we're just going along together, what incentive does that person have to change their behavior? They said, well, we don't hang out like how we used to, Brother Smith. But you know what? I miss it. I love you, but I cannot keep company with you until you change your ways. I don't love you any less, but I love you enough to tell you the truth and to do what God says. You see? Because in that chapter in Matthew, is it Matthew 18? Talks about church discipline. If your brother sins against you, go to him and tell his fault. If not, take what? Two or three witnesses. If they won't work again, take to the little church. And if the church decides to get on their knees and pray to God, and that person doesn't change, we need to disfellowship. But you know what we don't do? We don't disfellowship. Why don't we practice church discipline? Church practice. Why we don't do that?
Because it's kind of rampant in this local area.
Yeah.
China, especially here, I think the sole reason they live here is that going in Africa, we don't do much of discipline.
Yes.
But here they said because how many are you in number and you are not enough, it's not to show someone that was because they abuse.
Yeah. But that's not important, sir.
I don't know. Because I think.
You know why I don't do Rubber Lucky? Because we would rather keep the friendship than do what the right thing. Do the right thing. We are afraid. Huh? If you knew, every member of the church knew that if you were living in sin and the church is coming to your house, the whole church is coming to your house to talk to you and say, listen, sis, brother, you're living in sin, we want you back. God wants you back, you need to change your ways. And they said, well, I'm not coming to that church though. I'm sick of you all. All right, brother, listen. That's what we're going to pray for, but listen, they were having this fellowship until you come on that day. And then 2 Corinthians talks about what we need to do. We are to restore the fellowship. That person comes back, brothers and sisters, I've come to repent of my sins, to ask the Lord to forgive me of my sins and to restore me to the fellowship. We ought to love on that brother and sister. But the problem is, we have become so brazen in our Christianity to do whatever we want because there are no consequences. But God has some consequences for us. Huh? Because on judgment, because we're talking about godliness, the one prior to that, godly live. That's beyond the church's walls. It's what we do out there that matters. Folk are watching us. People are watching us. Huh? Your co-worker said, okay. I thought she said she was a Christian. That's all he said was a Christian. Really? And that's how we lose our influence. That's how we lose our influence. And so, it's important. It says to mark those or note those who cause division. So, when I was an American preacher, you get a letter, you get a phone call, say, Brother Smith, if so and so and so and so shows up at your congregation, do not accept them into fellowship. And I said, why? Well, because there's some problems over this congregation and they left. And so when they show up, somebody show up and say, praise God, thank you for coming. They said, well, I'm looking at placing membership with you. Really? Is everything okay back where you came from? We're going to make some phone calls, huh? And you won't be placing membership over here until you sort out over there. Because what the Bible says on little leaven, leaven is the whole one.
So what is the thing of the church? What's the people that never called you?
Uh-huh.
How do you address that? Like in England, in yesterday.
Yes, what you do.
Someone just comes in now and says, remember congregation, so place and everything, we go talking about calling now.
Yeah.
What next thing a church do?
Shepherds, the leaders, we're going to set Jones, you said you got a letter, you got a name, a number, and call, I'm gonna call the room and find out who knew this lucky. Your letter said ABC congregation, I'm gonna call ABC congregation and find out about you before you come planting, putting our roots down here. That's what you do. That's what the church is supposed to do. Because everybody knows someone. What's that?
You're not doing it.
There you go.
That's it.
So it is in these things, when we talk about following the scriptures now. We say we follow the scriptures, but we really don't really follow the scriptures, do we? Because everybody knows somebody. Huh? Brother,
yes, thank you. Just wanted to contribute to that conversation.
Yes.
Because I think we started from that. Love, it gets to a point where love judges, something like that.
Yeah.
And I was just reasoning along with it that as Christian, do we have the right to judge or to condemn anyone, even though they are in the wrong? I know that the Bible, in two different places, told us that when somebody is in the wrong, we should separate ourselves. And another example is the book of 2 John 9. That 2 John, I remember where he said, if anybody does not preach this script,
do not invite them.
So those kind of statements, are they judgment? Because in our own case, the Bible says we should keep ourselves. So similarly, the Bible also talks about, do not be equally yoked. Unequally yoked with the world. So all these three examples mean the same thing.
Yes.
So but when we talk about judgment and condemnation, it is the word of God that judges.
Yes.
It is not me. So
I
because
like
erroneously, some people might just take it away that it gets to a point where I need to punish you.
Yeah.
No, love don't punish. The Bible told us about the attributes of love.
Yeah.
He said he endures all things, he believes all things.
He endures all things.
Yeah, he said love never failed.
Yeah.
So even though the situation there was, it's still there.
Yeah.
So at the point of somebody going contrary to the will of God in the church, what the Bible advises us to do is to stay away from the purity.
Yes.
In this case, we are not judging them.
Yes.
Neither are we condemning them.
Yes.
We have no right to close our door to them. So do not fellowship with us. That will be contrary to the Bible. But rather, the Bible told us that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It's for correction, for reproof, for instruction.
Yes.
It is the word of God. So
yes,
when we place ourselves in a position of judgment,
yes,
we might be wrong.
Yes.
And finally, I wanted to read Romans chapter 8, that was where I've been looking for. It said, who is it that condemneth?
Mm.
It is Christ that died.
Yes.
Yeah, rather, that is reason. If you read, from 34, he said, who is he that condemns? He required a reason. So, we do not have capacity, we do not have right, but we have the word of God to do conviction, reproof, for correction. It is the Bible that says so. It is not you. But rather, our position in the case of somebody that is erring is to love and wait and be patient until God convicts and brings the person back.
That's it. Yes.
Thank you for this topic. It's a nice topic, but I want to add something to this.
Yes.
Like, I noticed something in this church. You're talking about love.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed that maybe a sister or a brother may be absent for 3 weeks or a month. Nobody cares to ask, oh, brother, are you okay? We have a good chat. And since I came to this congregation, I've not seen any written notes to say, oh, this brother. brother has been absent for 2 weeks. Who knows how the brother is doing? Who knows how the brother is faring? I've not noticed it here. And if somebody is absent, nobody cares, nobody calls. Nobody will ask, are you okay? How are you doing? Like in my congregation, if maybe a brother or a sister is absent for 2 weeks, they will bring a volunteer, maybe they will call to us and say, please, maybe those that have a car, please can you go to this person's house or can you call to know how this person is doing? But I've not seen it here. And where I'm coming from, maybe if a child is not behaving well, the parents will bring the situation to the church. What they will do, they will appoint 3 or 4 brethren to be going, to be visiting that particular child. Maybe once in a week, they will be going there, talking to that child. Before you know it, that child will come back. So I am not seeing it here. I'm not seeing all those things here. You know, we don't care about each other. We just come to church after Sunday. We go. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if this person is okay or not. If this person is doing well. Like, we notice if someone is not doing fine, so brethren contribute to money. You know, this is the way of bringing people together. Saying, I love you. And if your action shows that you love someone. You can't say, I love you, without showing it by you, as it's showing action. So, please, it's.
No, good points. And thank you for sharing that with you, with others. I will say this, that as you are aware, Brother Paul left in June, the beginning of June. And we, when I say we, the men, meet each month. And what you are discussing is something that has been brought up many times. One of the challenges that we have faced as a congregation is organization in terms of appointing men to lead various ministries, which we've just recently done. One of the exercises that we announced a few weeks ago was that we need to collect the names, telephone numbers, addresses of our members, because as you have seen in the time that you've been here, the church has grown. You are correct, there is a church chat, but my struggle with the church chat is many of the people that are on the chat have you and this is the reality. You may have a English name, but you have an African name, and sometimes there's a picture and or no picture. So yes, there's a chat, but how do I know that it's you that I'm contacting in terms of and that is a struggle. So to me, and it's not an excuse, but it's a reality of challenges that we face. You may have a picture, you may have a name, and maybe some other name, some previous old. I will struggle with that. And each of us, you're absolutely right, we have a responsibility as leaders to make sure. Because even for me, there are times when I say that, man, I haven't seen so-and-so for a while. And sometimes people have slipped through the cracks for a variety of reasons. So we, as men, as leaders, we need to be doing a better job. But let's turn it around. Who is each person in the congregation being proactive in following up with people? You see? So yes, it's a responsibility of the leaders. Who do you call? Who do you contact?
Second what she just said now. I think when I came here 2 years ago at the police station,
yeah.
I have some question.
Yes.
When what was I doing here? When the power
yes.
was sick.
Yes.
And I said, yeah, now that Dr. Paul is not around, I see. And I said, who are those people going to visit them? How many visit them? At that time. The one they said there was that enemy that was does the country oversee the rules of scripture. The thing is how God is in England. that you just have to first call the person.
Yeah.
If you don't allow you to come to the house, come. Yeah. Right now. So these are things you need to now try to understand the culture. You have to go on culture now, the way you are looking now, because that was probably happened at 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Like, brother is sick.
Yeah.
In our place, you see two, three people inside the bedroom, go to the place and not and be the,
yeah,
the brother.
Yeah.
But now, asking the brother for permission first, you have to come and pray that are sick,
yeah,
or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
He made me mad at that time, but my brother said, this nigga can do about that's how it was
being
done that way.
Yeah.
And anything like that, like in other areas that we have, good number of people like this. I'm talking about the issue of zoning.
Yeah, yes, yes.
In a zoning place, when the brother is gone, probably maybe we're losing that. Now, if one the brother don't come, maybe they're going to be able to call attendance. In some areas, they kind of retire, or a box or a thing you take, you come, you know that out of 19 members of the church, 60K,
yeah,
40 men, 20 women,
yeah,
they that don't come are listed.
Yeah.
Then they announce them. If we cannot announce them, we just told our brother, if we are not told to disturb us, this is our time. But there are two. When you are going home, please check on our lucky, you live in the same direction. But there are so don't come, or anywhere don't come, so do this. So these are things we have been facing in this congregation, and that's why I hope we put it around with the new rules of rabbit, the new step that we have been taking now.
So, two things. I think. We will, when will we start collecting the names from the
It's not going to be this service, but it will be next week.
Okay. So the first step is for us to collect the names of all members. And then also, as Brother Locke has suggested, perhaps a home soon. So you'll know where people live and designate to soon so that, just like you said, if someone is sick, someone's not going to attend them, we need to go and visit someone, whatever it is. Let's say, for example, the building is shut because of snow or inclement weather. We say, you know, don't come to the building. We say, whoever's in charge of that zone to contact the people in your zone. So we need to be doing a better job at some point as a spiritual family, because there are many, many challenges that are happening behind the scenes. But I want to show you this, my dear sister. There are many things going on in the background in terms of supporting members. We're not hurt by any stretch of imagination. I would ask that you pray for the men here, the leadership. And I'll say this while I'm on my feet. Each of us as men, we need to be doing a better job. We're not doing enough. And that's my personal opinion. We're not doing enough. We have this building here. We've been blessed as given to us as a gift. We are debt free as a congregation. We don't owe anything on this building. But what are we doing with it? What are we doing with it? And so we take all of these things for granted. It's the people. It's the people. Just like we read in that scripture, John 13, 34, 35. We ought to love one another. Despite our faults, we can all be, we're doing a good job perhaps, we can be doing a better job, but what's the best that we can be doing? And if each of us take a personal responsibility to be our brother's keeper, that will make this congregation better. I can be doing more. Yes. Can you be doing more? And so again, we talked about just now, Brother Toten mentioned about judgment. Yes, we have a responsibility and a right to judge one another, but we need to judge one another in love. Why? Because God wants the best from each of us. Yes? So, in terms of helping your children, helping us as an individual, helping us as a spiritual family, what can each of us do to make this congregation better? And I encourage you, dear sister, listen, if you see something, because I can't read. Now, one thing I've come to learn, women see things that men can't see. So we need to embrace that to say, listen, oh, by the way, you see? So, and quite often it's not what we say, it's how we say it.
Yeah, and yes. I want to say